Chapter 62. The kids were asleep in their car seats. Sharon rode up front with Jesse. He thought Sharon looked better than when she was working. She had showered and made herself up, done her hair. She had on a nice red and white floral print dress that showed too much cleavage and was maybe a few inches too short. She smelled of raw patchouli, which, in small doses, Jesse didn't mind. Oddly, though, Sharon didn't seem as relieved as he thought she should be now that she was free of Spider forever. If anything, she was unsettled, fidgety, wringing her hands in her lap. She asked if she could smoke. He shook his head. She didn't seem real pleased about that either. "Did you get the kids something to eat?"
"Yeah, we had a nice breakfast and some lunch at Denny's."
She reached into her bag and pulled out some crumpled bills.
"Here's what's left. There's some change, too."
"Keep it."
"I don't want no charity."
"It's not charity. Buy Hector some flowers or something," he said.
"You sure?"
He nodded. She stuffed the bills back in her bag. "Reaper acted like I thought he would," Jesse said. "Are both kids his?"
"Cassie's his,"
Sharon said, looking over her left shoulder at the little blonde girl. "Johnny's another guy's. Asshole took off on me when he found out I was knocked up. But Reaper took to Johnny, and Johnny loved Reaper. Both kids did. He was real good with them."
"Then why'd you break up with Reaper?"
"I didn't. Spider wanted me for his own."
"And that was okay with Reaper?"
"Club rules. Reaper was a probie then. You want in, whatever's yours is theirs. At least they didn't make me do all of them. I heard some gangs are like that. Spider was okay at first."
"But you weren't in the club. You didn't have to play by their rules."
She laughed, but it had nothing to do with joy.
"I needed somebody to look after me and my kids. What have I got? My father was on me twice a week since before I was 13. I ran away and didn't even finish ninth grade. I got a crappy job in a shithole diner in a shithole town. You do what you gotta do."
Jesse wished this was the first time he heard a story like Sharon's, but it wasn't. Not nearly. He had heard versions of this story from the day he got on the job in L.A. In Compton, in East L.A., the players and the gangs had different names. When he got to Paradise, the names changed again. Sometimes the abused girls had rich fathers or mob-connected fathers. When he was younger, he used to have trouble believing the extent people would go just to belong, and others just to escape. Sometimes they were the same thing. Not much surprised Jesse anymore.
"When we get back to my place, I'll get one of the neighbors to watch the kids for a few hours. We'll have some beers or something, and I'll take care of you."
"No, you won't."
"Don't you think I'm pretty?" she said, wounded.
"Today, especially, yes."
"But you still won't?"
"No."
"Don't you like sex?"
"Like is the wrong word."
"Then what's wrong? I'm real good."
"I don't doubt it," he said.
"Don't you like women?"
"Look, Sharon, I didn't do what I did because I wanted to sleep with you."
"Why then?"
"Because it was right." She snorted.
"Right? What does that even mean?"
"Good question."
"But you know what's right?"
"Not always. But I almost always know what's wrong," he said.
"Like what?"
"Like a woman being passed around between a bunch of men like she had no say in things." She snorted again, but didn't say anything. "What was that for?" he said.
"Women are always getting passed around between a bunch of men. That don't change no matter what. I don't have much school, but it don't take a genius in history to see that. At least what Satan's whores did was out in the open, and nobody was pretending it was something else."
Jesse kept quiet the rest of the way until they got to Hector's apartment in Helton. "This is your stop," Jesse said, and clicked the door locks open. Sharon didn't move immediately. It was like she was thinking of something to say.
"I want you to come in," she said. "Not because I owe it to you or nothing, but because I like you."
He turned to look at her. "No, Sharon, I'm honored, but no." She smiled at him.
"Thank you, Jesse Stone. Between you and Hector, maybe there's some hope for people like me."
She leaned over and kissed Jesse on the cheek, then she slid out. Jesse got out too, and unhitched the car seats after Sharon had brought her kids inside. He was walking back to get into the car when Sharon called after him. He stopped and went back onto the sidewalk.
"I keep forgetting. Things have been so crazy between Spider and Hector and everything, she said. What is it? When you came to Bert's that first time, we was talking about that older guy and his lawyer, remember? Sure. What I wanted to tell you was that there was somebody else that came in and sat with them for a few minutes. He made them real uncomfortable when he showed up. You could tell they all didn't like each other. I thought the guy with the pipe was going to blow a gasket. You're waitress long enough, you notice stuff like that. I didn't hear it, but I think they even yelled at each other some. Can you describe him, the guy who came in? He was about your age, handsome too. Carried himself like he was somebody. Do you know what I mean? His hair was turning gray, but silvery gray, not all washed out or nothing. He had a nice smile that must have made his dentist pretty freaking rich. And he was dressed well, even though the sun was barely up. Vic, Jesse said to himself. What? If you saw a photo of this guy, would you recognize him? Sure I would. Jesse took out his phone and tapped Vic's name into Google. He got a ton of hits, but the only site he was interested in was the one that showed photographs of Vic. Jesse turned the screen around to Sharon. This the guy? She nodded without hesitating a beat. That's him. Perfect. Thanks. She hugged Jesse tight. As he drove away, Jesse wanted to think that Sharon and her kids would be all right now that Spider had been dealt with. One thing police work and his relationship with Jen had taught him was that people don't change easily, and not at all if they don't work at it. Sure, Sharon had it tough and had got mixed up with a lot of the wrong people, but not all of it had just happened to her. A lot of it had been because of the bad choices she'd made. Rescuing her from a bad situation wasn't going to alter her decision-making. He couldn't help but wonder what would happen the next time when he wouldn't be there to fix things. Somewhere deep down inside, he knew the answer.